Welcome to Dispatches, the official podcast for the Journal of the American Revolution. The Journal of the American Revolution publishes weekly online at www.allthingsliberty.com. For the latest in research, reviews, and commentaries, America's most important history is available free of charge at the Journal of the American Revolution.
And I think it's important for us to realize how the revolution failed, but also realize the potential our revolution still has for transforming our country.
That's Journal of the American Revolution contributor Rafael Corletta, discussing the origin of the term Empire of Liberty. And he's our guest today. I'm Brady Kreitzer, and this is Dispatches. This episode is brought to you by The History List. Find your favorite way to celebrate the American Revolution here. Visit thehistorylist.com. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Dispatches. I'm your host, Brady Kreitzer. Today our guest is Journal of the American Revolution contributor Rafael Corletta, and he'll be discussing the unique origin of an eternal phrase, Empire of Liberty. Rafael Corletta has written a wonderful article for us here at the Journal of the American Revolution when he compares Thomas Jefferson's usage of the phrase Empire of Liberty to that of another early American, Esther Reed. Her version of Empire of Liberty was very different than Jefferson's, yet the phrase continues long into the 21st century. It's a fascinating study. I learned a lot. I hope you enjoy it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy our interview with Rafael Corletta. Rafael Corletta, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Brady.
Rafael, you're a first-time guest. Tell us about your background.
Well, I have lived in Annapolis most of my life since I was four. I have had a fascination with the 18th century and the American Revolution. Pretty much very close to the same amount of time. I have went to college at Sheppard University. I graduated with a bachelor's in history. Now I currently work for Historic Annapolis, and I usually give tours, sometimes in colonial era garb. I portray a member of the gentry, and in my spare time, I love to read about the 18th century, learn as much as I can, and spend time with my friends and family.
What first drew your interest into this topic?
Well, it was a book recently published about the American Revolution. I'm sure you've probably heard of it, Liberty is Sweet by Woody Holton. And I found it particularly interesting because it was very similar to James McPherson's Battle Cry of Freedom, which is a history of the entire Civil War, and I prefer the American Revolution, so I wanted to read about every aspect of the Revolution since it is my passion and very involved with the place I work as well. So I came across a very interesting part of the book when Woody Holton was talking about Thomas Jefferson's phrase that is very associated with him, the Empire of Liberty. And Woody Holton, he theorized that Thomas Jefferson did not come up with this phrase himself. He actually borrowed it from Esther Reed, who wrote it in Sentiments of an American Woman, a broadside published in Philadelphia in 1780 that was advocating that women play a more important role in the American Revolution.
Rafael, when do we first see the phrase Empire of Liberty appear?
Well, if you're referring to Jefferson, he would first describe the United States as an Empire of Liberty in a letter to the American officer George Rogers Clark. He wrote this letter on Christmas Day of 1780. Reed, however, uses it several months before. As I previously mentioned, she uses the phrase in Sentiments of an American Woman, and this broadside is published on June 12th, 1780.
When does Thomas Jefferson begin using it?
Well, basically, he's writing to George Rogers Clark, who was in charge of Virginia militia out on the frontier. And this is kind of a sideshow of the American Revolution, not as much talked about as, say, the campaigns under William Howe, the campaigns to retake New York. It didn't involve Washington or the Continental Army on the Eastern Coast, but these were campaigns against Native American tribes who were aligned with the British. And the Native American tribes in 1780, they were doing a large offensive against French, Spanish, and American settlements throughout the Western frontier. Now, Jefferson is advocating that George Rogers Clark fights back, and he wants them to recapture Detroit, which had just been taken by the Native Americans. And he said, this will add a fertile country to the Empire of Liberty.
Raphael, what does Jefferson mean by Empire of Liberty?
Well, it's the very Jeffersonian ideal of, well, a territory populated by Jefferson's idealized human farmers. Though, while Jefferson was very eloquent with his words, he meant what he said. It was a little empire, and it implied westward expansion, and also, indirectly and unfortunately, implied genocide. I mean, in a previous letter to George Rogers Clark, he literally uses the word exterminate when talking about the Native American population. So while it was idealistic in some ways, this Empire of Liberty, it was for, you know, common men to own land. Jefferson's idea of liberty, a very Anglo-American idea of liberty as well, associated with owning land. It also implied a lot of suffering for another group of people.
Raphael, could you talk about Esther Reed? When does she begin using that phrase, Empire of Liberty?
Well, she uses it in her pamphlet or broadside, Sentiments of an American Woman, published in Philadelphia in 1780. Now, to Esther Reed, the Empire of Liberty was not a literal empire. It was, I would say, an empire of the mind. And she's basically referring to, as she says, she's basically advocating that women take a broader role in the American Revolution. And she's talking about a lot of other parts of the world and revolutions fought in other areas that women have also played a big role in. She's specifically using the phrase Empire of Liberty to describe how Europe's Enlightenment era queens expanded the Empire of Liberty by giving women a broader form of participation in their own societies.
How is Esther Reed using it differently? What is she talking about?
Well, Esther Reed was a very courageous woman and a very unsung in the history of our revolution. She is very idealistic. She is the wife of Joseph Reed, Washington's secretary, and she was actually British. She was not born in America like Jefferson, but she begins, as she's living with Joseph Reed, who she madly fell in love with when he was in England, she begins to become very sympathetic to the colonist's plight. Now, much like her husband, Reed is very passionate about the patriot cause. And what she means in Sentiments of an American Woman and with the Empire of Liberty more broadly is that women should take a more active role in the American Revolution. She's saying that women can do as much as men for the American cause. And the Empire of Liberty is, you know, a broader sphere that women can act in to benefit the broader goal of making America an independent republic.
Raphael, what can we learn from comparing these two people's usage?
I've actually thought a lot about that myself. And I think the phrase Empire of Liberty is so important because it basically illustrates the duality of the American Revolution. Now, the American Revolution was a great moment in the history of mankind. It expanded the right to participate in the government by common people. But as we know, it left a lot of people out, not only women, but enslaved people, indigenous people, the lower class. Now, I think in comparing Jefferson's notion of the Empire of Liberty and Reed's notion of the Empire of Liberty, we can talk about what the American Revolution means to us today. And we can take the positive attributes of the American Revolution, which I would say in this context are more on the side of Reed, the allowing of everyone to participate in the betterment of our republic. And I think I would say that I'm more on the side of Reed and what she meant of the Empire of Liberty rather than what Jefferson meant. And I think it's important for us to realize how the revolution failed, but also realize the potential our revolution still has for transforming our country, transforming the world, and allowing everyone to take part in the American experiment.
Raphael, let me ask you this. Do you feel that either of them were correct or incorrect in their usage?
I would say Esther Reed is more on the money. Now, I find Jefferson very interesting, and I agree with a lot of the things he did. I disagree with a lot of the things he did as well. But I think Reed is more on the money because she's allowing a broader segment of the American population to participate in the revolution. And I think that is a better direction to take rather than what Jefferson meant of the Empire of Liberty. Well, it did give rights to some, also implied the suffering of the indigenous people who were already living here.
How does this article help us understand the revolutionary era better?
I would say, like I was talking about previously, it shows the revolution's potential. It shows the revolution's potential and also things the revolution didn't do well. It shows us that all revolutions in history have potential. And what I find interesting as a historian is I will read about the American Revolution, I'll read about the Haitian Revolution, I'll read about the French Revolution. And when you read in the beginning of a revolution, you kind of notice that a lot of people, more people are on board. And as the revolution devolves into factionalism and infighting, it loses some of the promise it had. And I think what the phrase Empire of Liberty shows us, and I keep using this word potential, but I really do believe this, it does show the American Revolution's potential. It shows how the ideas of the Enlightenment applied to everyone, even though a lot of the people who were writing them didn't intend to apply them to everyone. I mean, the Empire of Liberty, as Woody Holton states, and what made me find it so interesting in the first place, as he said, it's been used in America ever since Jefferson and Reed, who gets much less credit for it, wrote it down with their quill. And it shows us how our revolution succeeded in many ways and still can succeed, and how it failed in some ways, and how we can rectify that as Americans.
Raphael Corletta, thanks again.
My pleasure.
The music played in this episode included works by Kevin MacLeod and the Sturbridge Colonial Militia. Any unauthorized reproduction or use of this podcast without the express written permission of the Journal of the American Revolution is strictly prohibited. For everyone here at Dispatches, I'm Brady Kreitzer saying so long.